A picnic will be held Sunday, May 14th here on the church property, beginning at noon. Lunch will be served at 1 p.m. The church will provide smoked beef, chicken, hot dogs, and sausage. See the bulletin board for additional details, including suggestions for what you can bring. So it's potluck in that sense, like usual. Hopefully it'll be warmer than today. Well, we will have to bundle up. All right, we're back here at the end of the last, down at the end of verse, page 6, and before we resume the next block of verses. Philemon was a source of spiritual refreshment to the royal family at Colossae. The details are not supplied as exactly the kind of good deeds, labor of love, that he performed. You would have had to been there. You'd have had to see the niche and the circumstances as these believers were under. There are situations that are normal, everyday stuff, but they provide a challenge. There are also periods in the history of a local church that aren't so calm. And there are various things that go on. In this case, we have the example of a believer who was naturally used of God, who had no agendas, was not a loose cannon, wasn't trying to make a name for himself, but he made a name for himself. He's immortalized in the Word of God. And he is recommended here by one who ought to know people real well, the Apostle Paul. A man that Paul had never met, but based on the kind of report that he received, it was clear that Paul had a major asset, a partner, if you will, with regard to his canon at Colossae. So what this man did, you know, and again, it's the Christian life. You grow up spiritually, if you do. You take in Bible doctrine, and you just sort of naturally fit into a set of circumstances and situations where if you are sensitive to God and His leading, you see opportunities to apply. God brings them to you. You don't have to go find them. These opportunities come to you naturally. And if you're on top of things, you immediately can do what you need to do. And when it's towards other believers, you become a blessing towards them. They are blessed by association with you because you have some resource, some ability, if it's just verbal, as well as other things that can be done to encourage believers. Now, a term that closely parallels this is renewed, anakainao. To make new again. Anakainao. The omega and the omicron. Anakainao means to renew or make new again. It occurs in 2 Corinthians 4:16, and it is a very wonderful verse for orientation for believers. We are in an angelic conflict, as you well know. There are a lot of things thrown at us. We live in a world full of evil. We carry around a sin nature. All these kinds of things are against humanity, but with regard to believers, we have the ability to rise not above it experientially in that it does never touch us, but we have an ability to deal with it on an intellectual or spiritual level so that we see how God is working all this for our good. Most people, obviously, don't suffer and say, well, God's have faith, which is required, have faith and say, God's working this for my good. I don't even know how yet. Maybe. And some of us have said, now I know how God worked that for my good. It was not all pleasant at the time, to say the least, but God works that for good. He works all things for good for those who love Him. Those who do not love Him, then they're on their own, pretty much. Not that God delivers all kinds of people and does things for all kinds of people. We've seen that. It's stuck away in the Bible here and there. How God's even brought some people to the end, close to disaster, and brought them back. That didn't turn them around to God. They will give their testimonies and say, yeah, that was almost the end, and then almost miraculously, things turned, and I was delivered. The person should be dead or destroyed. But something happened. Something intervened. It was God. It wasn't luck. It was God. God intervened. God did something. And no doubt many of us can give testimonies to the fact that this was indeed the case with me in this set of circumstances. I thought it was the most horrible thing that ever happened to me in all of my life. At the time, it came down on me. And I didn't do real well at various points, but I wrote it out and I clung, even if by my fingernails, to the truth. And now I look back on it all and I see how God worked it for good, considering the way things are now. So God works these things for good. At the time, it was flat miserable, painful. But you didn't let it, for those of you who didn't, you didn't let it destroy you spiritually. You could have done a runaway. You could have left doctrine. Bible doctrine doesn't work. Blah, 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 blah. Woe is me. All the usual stuff. But you refused to let yourself stay in that mode. So you understand through experience and through information in the Bible that God worked this for my good. God loves you. You love Him to the extent that you are positive and know and learn His will. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, it's called the aging gene. And it ravishes us. It eventually shows up. You know, but it doesn't bother me anymore. It really doesn't. I don't want to be... I'm glad I've had all this time to exploit doctrine and build up SG3, however meager it might have been at some points in my life, and stay on course spiritually. So I don't mind the fact that I'm not 30 anymore. I'm 40 years beyond that. And it's gone real fast. Our lives are a little vapor. It appears for a little while. You know what a vapor is, don't you? You might see it coming out of on a street, you know, where the steam's coming up out of there when it's cold. It's a little vapor off of a hot water spring. It's a vapor that comes up. It can be quite a big one. But the minute the sun hits it, it's gone. It's dissipated. It's out of your vision. Our lives are a little vapor. It appears for a little while. And then, poof, it's gone. Youth leaves us. It all leaves us behind. I don't have to tell people that. Everybody knows that universally. It's what people do with the information. Eat, drink, and be merry, and burn the candle at both ends because I could die soon. That's nuts. And there are those that do that. They gotta haul it all in. They gotta get it all. And then some. As they go on this mad dash. But their lives are a little vapor. They were a big shot in their time and in their place. Poof, it's gone. We do not lose heart because of the aging gene and all these factors. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That does not apply to everybody. It only applies to those that are day by day exposed to the truth and the Christian way of life. So when you come here, it's time to be renewed. You spent a day, now the next time will be the rest of the day and Monday and all day Tuesday, exposed to, subjected to the cosmos, your friend. Turn on the TV if you don't believe it's your friend. They're all your friends. We're all your friends. Your friends down here at Reynolds Ford want you to come get a new car. I got to laugh at that. They're my friends. I bought one car from them. That's all I had to do. I have friends for life. As long as I buy another one. We're exposed to the cosmos. Some of it we can avoid. Some of it we can avoid. We don't have to marinate our heads every day in the television. People look at me like, "Oh, you're just saying that." No, I'm not. I'm like the rest of you. I like entertainment at a certain level. But hey, you marinate your head in that all the time, you're not going to be a very clear thinker. And I'll bet while you're watching that, I don't know because I don't know your heart. But I'll bet while you're watching that, you're not just sitting there. I'm bringing every thought into captivity for Christ on this one. Because some of it's real subtle. That's it. It's not in your face. Hey, this is a propaganda program, folks, designed to get you to think a certain way in a certain area. Of course they're not going to tell you that. But they want you to think a certain way. It's the nature of the cosmos. So you subconsciously form a viewpoint off of that. You say, "No, doctrine's protecting me." Well, yes, it is. But you're allowing this to influence what you think about doctrine. You hear stuff. You can't avoid hearing stuff. And when you hear human viewpoint from another believer in Maranatha to on out there, from a political leader spouting stuff to whoever it is, when you hear human viewpoint and you have doctrine, you take that thought into captivity for Christ. They pronounce all these big things. The earth and the universe is 16 billion years old. Oh yeah, right. Who measured that? You got a measuring stick? You got something special you can measure this with? But we all, they're scientists. They got degrees. That must be true. Got anything else for me? And we swallow it hook, line, and sinker. We do. I've done it too. I'm not putting you down. Australia broke off from so-and-so 150 million. You sure it wasn't 110? This is all BS. There's only 7,000 years of human history. That flies in the face of everything. Did you sit here all this time and think, "Jack's nuts. There's only going to be 7,000 years of human history? I went to school. Man didn't appear on the scene until about 150,000. I don't know which one figure. I lose track. There's just this barrage of stuff." And I'm going to tell you something else, too. You can read Genesis for yourself. Go tell someone on the street, you know, talking about creation, talking about stuff, say, "You know what? Plants were on the earth before the luminaries were over our head." "You are nuts." "No, I'm not. D plus three, we got plants. And 24 hours later, we got the sun and the moon and the luminaries." And that's whatever that date was for the startup, I'll probably quote it wrong, about 4350 something BC, whatever. I'll go back and look. I apologize. But I'm not off very much. Bishop Usher wasn't off very much. He was just off. No, he wasn't off that much. He had it 4003 BC. I always remember seeing it in my Bibles, my King James Version. 4003 BC. Everybody, "Oh, that guy's nuts. He's from the Dark Ages." Okay, we know that the earth is whatever. Really? Not according to my Bible. And guess where I'm going to take my stand? I'm going to take my stand on the Bible. That's the book for me. And I will be vindicated. And all these people with all this crap will be thrown at me, and it'll all come crumbling down because every thought and everything erected against the knowledge of God will be exposed. And won't that be fun? Won't that be fun when the day comes and God's had enough and there's an awakening and this stuff is injected and you people have been led down the road to destruction by all the lies promoted in the political, financial, scientific, and every other realm. And you bought it. Because you know what was lacking in our educational system, among other things? Maybe you had it. I don't know. We're out here to teach you students to be critical thinkers. Critical thinkers. Don't be afraid to ask a question because everyone says, oh, you're stupid. You ask questions. If it doesn't add up, ask a question. Investigate stuff. Just because it comes from on high, and a guy with a bunch of plaques on his wall, that mean nothing. That mean a thing necessarily. So we live in the cosmos and we are bombarded. Now, if you want to be bombarded and expose yourself 24/7 to that phone and anything, it's perfect. It's perfect for the devil's world. We'll get these suckers. We will fix them up. You want news? We'll give you news. But the first word is entertainment. We're going to entertain you. What kind of news do you want? Do you want conservative news? Liberal news? You can tailor make your own news. That's what they're going to do with your phones and stuff. It's not true investigative reporting, getting to the bottom of stuff. Or this whole thing had come flying down. Because they're in on the game too. Fake news, fake science, fake politics, fake financial. What kind of a system borrows money from private entities and pays them interest when a government doesn't have to do that? If you could coin your own money and it was legal, would you go borrow from somebody? The government is to coin it and regulate the value of it. And it doesn't have to charge interest. But they won't throw the Federal Reserve. See, this came out of the Babylonian system. This came out of the Rothschilds. We're going to start loaning money to governments. Governments should have told them, take a hike. We don't need to borrow from you. We coin our own coin of the realm. Thank you. But no thank you. And would you get that in the economics department at a prestigious university? Hell no. No way. There would never... It's a sacred cow. We don't question that. Nobody raises their hand and says, you know, I see a problem here. Turning our whole monetary system over to hidden family, secretive families, because I figured this out, and a bunch of them aren't even Americans. The stockholders in the Federal Reserve, and you're not one of them. And you can't be one of them. And so today, we're trillions of dollars in debt. We go, huh, debt's good. Up's down. Peace is war. War's peace. Everything is Orwellian in our world. And the more you see it, the more you realize it. And you came to Maranatha Church to find this out. You can find it out from other sources and augment it. This is what you're going to find out. We've been had. On the day we walked into kindergarten. Oh, yeah. Oh, we got some basics. How to write. How to do... I don't know. Probably don't even do penmanship anymore. Conjugate words. Do they do that anymore? I don't know. That's even deteriorated. But we didn't get any critical skills. We didn't take a course in logic. We have an exercise. Read through this, students. And find the contradictions. Find why this doesn't work, if you can. It may be okay. And have actual exercises doing that. To sharpen your mind so you can listen to a news report and say, double talk. I'm seeing this. They don't want us to be able to do that. They want consensus. Consensus. You know, common core. consensus. All of us think alike. That way we can be manipulated from here to wherever and back. Because we all think alike. That does not make for a civil life. It's the individual that figures things out. The hero that steps out and says, the king has no clothes on him. What are you cheering for? He's an exhibitionist. The little child. Mommy, the king has no clothes on. Everybody, yeah, it's a king. For your inner man is being renewed day by day. You know, people often say, you're just as old as the way you act. And I'm not talking about your physical and you're hunched over and you got a bad knee, all that business. Your eyesight isn't too good and whatever. I'm talking about inside. There's people a lot younger than me and they act real old. It's a mentality. And doctrine renews us. For one thing, just don't walk around all the time, I'm getting old, and it's old age. Okay, fine. The attitude is, I'm building SG3 and I'm old. Because I have some restrictions upon me that age has imposed upon me. That's why you don't see any 70-year-old men being linebackers in the NFL. They might have been back in the day if they didn't get their brain scrambled. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Two things note here, and this is what I want to tell you. All of you have, not all of you, but some of you are in real good health and have good health, and you thank God for it, and you may have a little this and that from time to time. But you have health issues, and some of you have serious ones, and more serious ones, and some of them it's just, you know, you're 85 for crying out loud. So, the deal is, if you can be in fellowship any amount of the day, you're getting SG3 for that. You're building up an eternal weight of glory. Because you're going to be 35 forever in a new body. Brand new, like Jesus Christ. That's a great deal. I'm offering you a great deal here. You can get a resurrection body like Jesus Christ and a whole bunch of reward for dealing with your health issues. In fellowship, even if it takes your life, or you suffer a lot, and you can't do what you did when you were 40, obviously, you're building SG3. Don't feel sorry for yourself because you're not 25 and look like that person. They're 25 for crying out loud. See? But you're going to be 35 forever. You're going to get a body like Jesus Christ, and it's not very far down the road. It's coming real soon. Some people don't believe me on this. And I put my reputation on the line on this, but we'll see. I went through all the rationale with you. I went all through all the data. We got 4.5 years left. 4.5. We'll get to 2021, fall of 2021. Bam, we're out of here. Oh, you shouldn't date the rapture. You know what's happened to all the people that have done that? Yeah, I'm aware of it. Because that's all I got left in me is 4.5 years. Not only forgot that. I really don't even know if I've got that. I'm going to have to be renewed over and over again. And I have good friends here. And I mean it. That have stepped up and encouraged me at various times. I mean, it's glorious. It's like, can you believe that? I didn't call on them and say, well, I'm having trouble today. Would you kind of help me out? Would you kind of encourage me? No, they just did it under the Holy Spirit on their own. And I wasn't sitting in moaning and groaning in front of them. And they encouraged me. They renewed me. God puts those people around you. And does it unexpectedly. You never know who it might be. We're to be encouraged. We're to encourage others. Don't discourage people. Don't discourage believers. Oh, you're just going to fail again. Well, that's just great, isn't it? Encouragement died with you. I don't ever like to be around that person. It's always a downer. You're not going to make it this time. That is not encouragement. And believers try to encourage believers, but if you're out of fellowship, you don't get it. We're encouraged one hour. All right, so you've had a bad month. You've had a bad decade. Spiritually, I mean. It's a new day. Get with doctrine, wake up, do what you're supposed to, and see the difference. When I'm on top of things, I see the hand of God in so many ways. And he didn't promise me that I'm just going to, you know, be Mr. Teflon believer and nothing happens. You know, no. But I see his hand. And I get discouraged. I get a downer. I get this. I know around the next corner something's going to snap me up. God's going to do it. A circumstance, a believer. There are some people I know I can't go to for encouragement. It's going to happen. It's going to happen a million years. People encourage people in different ways. Some do it quietly, what they do. Some people with their words, their actions. So you've been encouraged by positive volition around here? Hopefully you have. If you're in the mix, we're family. Yeah, we got our differences. We're going through a little issue here at Maranatha Church. I'll try to resolve it. You know me, I can do anything. I'll wear my Superman deal up here. But I'll resolve it when I get good and ready. And some aren't looking forward to that. Okay, be patient. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. That's SG3, far beyond all comparison. All comparison to what? Find the richest person you know, the most handsome, the most attractive, with all the money and all the assets and all the talents and all blah, 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 ad nauseum. It's just a man with the breath of lives in his nostrils. That's all he is. Whatever you can find, and I've seen things that are really nifty, to use not a very good term, really awesome, material things, things of this nature, that's phenomenal. There's probably a better than that out there, no doubt. But I've seen this. So what I got coming in SG3 is far beyond all comparison. You can't compare it to anything on this earth. And so the negative volition ridicules it as pie in the sky. We'll see. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the great thing about it, it doesn't matter who you are, what your circumstances are, how bad your life has been prior to today. You can step into this arena and be in Bible class and start and grow spiritually. If the rapture catches you, no, you won't have the pile of SG3 some of us will have because you didn't spend the time. But you can still snatch the prize out of the deal. You can snatch it out. Encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Encourage believers. Don't discourage them. I'm all for you. I'm praying for you. You don't know how much that helps some people. But it has to be sincere love. It can't be phony. Just because it's a thing to be seen doing. Some people just cannot bring themselves to say to a certain person, how are you doing? How are things going? And maybe from that person, it'd be more encouraging than the 20 of the rest of us. Because it comes from that person. Because they love you and they care about you. You don't have to agree with everybody on everything. I'm not asking that. I mean, just ask you to encourage believers. Is this going to be an encouragement or a discouragement? While we look not at the things which are seen. Well, I don't know which one of you does that. We don't look at the things which are seen. Now, that sounds like the Bible's not accurate. I'm looking at the things that are seen all the time. I saw that $150,000 automobile go by me. I saw that. I saw that Porsche Panorama with loaded. I saw the thing. Gorgeous color, everything. I saw the thing. I see the things out there. You do too. I have pretty good vision. But that isn't going to turn me away from God and his plan. That's just a pile of bolts and metal. That's going to be burned up in the tribulation. And so I can get to the point where, oh, if I had that, I'd be happy. okay, I got it, and I'm not so happy. If I had this, I'll be happy. Put more fuel on that fire. We called it the frantic search for happiness. And it's not the mastery of the details of life. MDL. Mastery of the details of life is no details are going to get me in my way and keep me from the goal. I like details, but they're not gonna knock me out. Most of us, unless we got some real strong ascetic types in here, like certain things. I know she didn't go out and buy a piece of crap truck. It's pretty nice. I don't begrudge you that. But if you had to drive a truck that looked like it had been hammered in hell, and that's where God put you, you'll drive it. That's a car God gave me. See? Because you're different. You're different. You know this other stuff doesn't matter. And if you want a nicer, better, more reliable vehicle, you just offer up a prayer to God. God, bring something into my life. In the meantime, I'll drive this thing. Smoke coming out of the tailpipe. Window doesn't roll all the way up. But you know, if that's where God wants me and I'm in His will, you can have all the rest of it. Because I'm rich, and that rich guy's poor. He's poor. He's worse than a street person. Stand on a corner with a sign. I read about some of these people that had all these millions and they didn't even know how to handle them. And now they're broke and all their houses are repossessed and all their cars. And they were a multi-millionaire retired athlete. You only need one house, really. And if you want to go to Tahiti, rent something. I'm giving you some financial advice. Rent something. Let them deal with the problems of insurance and upkeep. Get you one place, live in it. They can't do that, can they? They've got to show off. I've got four houses and three cars in each house. Like, you need that. These people are stupid, really. They don't know how to handle it. One guy says, I came into $2 million and it's the worst thing that ever happened to me. That's because you're an idiot. The money's not bad. You were corrupt. And you ran around and did all this stupid stuff and made up for lost time. Instead, just step back and take it slow and easy. $2 million isn't that much anymore. Because of inflation. Because of the Federal Reserve System. Teacher, why do we have inflation? Well, and they'll give you some drawn-out crap story. No, it's because the currency has been inflated by the masters who rule behind the scenes of the Federal Reserve System. And that's why a gallon of milk costs what it does today and in 1950 is quite different. It's not because we've run out of milk. There's plenty of milk. Why does it cost so much? They inflated the currency. The Bible speaks against messing with that. It condemns rigged balances and scales. And if this isn't rigged, I don't know what is. So, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How can you look at something that can't be seen? Is the Bible crazy or what? No. Eyes of the soul. I see the crown. I see SG3. I'm not letting anything get in the way of it. If God drags me through whatever by His grace and strength, I'll go through it. And I lose everything, and that's the plan, a la Job, a la whoever. Fine. I don't mean Allah the God. I mean... Well, the things which are seen are temporal. Let that sink in. The things which are seen are temporal. By definition. Your relationships, everything. Now you can carry them over into phase three. Relationships, obviously, we will. That's great. As believers. But the things which are not seen are eternal. I don't know what they are. But I know God isn't going to pull a fast one on us. Huh, it wasn't that big of a deal. Oh no, it's a big deal. If you could equate it to human terms, you'd be at the top of the food chain. This is mind-boggling, what God has for those who love Him. And the only way you can come and realize it is to be taught the truth. It's the only way you figured out salvation. Eternal life, that's the biggest gift of all, considering what it not got us out of. And then on top of that, God is so gracious that He not only saves us by faith and grace, but that we can build up eternal rewards. He likes to reward His children, temporally and eternally. I give you the formula. I give you the doctrine and the motivation. I mean, God does ultimately. I'm just a mouthpiece. I recognize my limitations. Oh, God, do I ever. I sit there, I got so much to say and so much to teach in the Bible. You know, and I've times I'm just thinking, you know, I'm not adequate. But God says I am, so I keep trying. I keep trying. And I'll try again, God willing, Tuesday night. Let us conclude. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.